Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Hala Alyan was 4 years old when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. Her family packed up what they could and left their home. And in the years that followed, her family moved over a dozen times between the Middle East and the United States. And as she grew up, she tried to process the chaos of constantly moving. So Alyan started to write. She's an award-winning poet and clinical psychologist, and now she's published her first novel. It's called Salt Houses, and it follows a Palestinian family grappling with the ramifications of being displaced by war. And Hala Alyan joins us in the studio now. She'll be at the Harvard Bookstore tonight talking about her book. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first of all, before we get into the specifics of your beautiful book, I'd just love to hear more about you and mm-hmm. and your journey. Tell us about how leaving Kuwait.
Yeah, I mean, I was four, so some of my earliest memories are from that time, but most of it obviously has been filtered through my parents. I think the most salient memory is I had just turned four, and my mother had wanted me not to open all my birthday presents at once. So we left a bunch of unopened birthday gifts. And that was something that my mother would cry about year after year, remembering that time. It was a time when banks shut down. My mom escaped with me, and she was pregnant with my brother and drove through Iraq, went to Syria. When my father was able to catch up with us, he went to Syria as well.
Oh, it's interesting.
We were there for a little bit. And then,
Syria doesn't seem like a place of refuge today.
Which is what's so fascinating to think about. I mean, in that region and in general, the idea of immigration and displacement, it's like places that were refuge are not anymore. That many places that are shelters have become places where people flee.
So in all the times and places that you had to move mm-hmm. In the intervening years, I mean, what effect did that have on you and your family and how it sort of defined itself and saw itself?
Yeah, I think it sort of manifested differently in all of us. I mean, I think for myself and my brother and my sister, it sort of manifested in wanting to tell stories and becoming writers and artists and becoming very kind of obsessed with this idea of memory and nostalgia and how to recreate memory and preserve it. It's been interesting to see how it manifests differently between my mother and father. My father's very restless and has a hard time settling in any one city. Whereas my mother loves to think about homes and just nesting and loves Architectural Digest. And so I think it's kind of manifested very differently in our family. But there is a shared understanding that, you know, you can't take any city for granted.
Yeah.
You don't know what will happen.
Yeah. Well, in your novel, Salt Houses, you follow a Palestinian family mm-hmm. over time. But one of the key people at the center of the book is Salma. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, she's the matriarch.
The matriarch
of
yep.
this family. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about her and why you wanted to put her at the center of the novel.
Well, so the character that ends up kind of popping up is her daughter, Alia.
Yeah.
But the very heart of it would be Salma, would be this original character who was raising her children in that kind of interesting, very politically tense period of time between 1948 and 1967 in what is now the West Bank. And she's sort of trying to manage her desires for her children with political realities, trying to keep them safe, but also connected to their homeland. And it really all begins with her. Mm-hmm. And then when the Six-Day War happens, they lose their house and they find themselves in Kuwait, only to be displaced again after a couple of decades.
Yeah. So it's so interesting about hearing this particular story, this kind of story about a Palestinian mm-hmm. family, because it's not one that we often mm-hmm. get a chance to hear about or explore.
Yeah.
I mean, was that part of the impetus for you for writing mm-hmm. the novel?
I wouldn't say that I set out with a particular agenda. I know that as I was writing, I was falling in love with the family and I was becoming very invested and I wanted to do justice to this particular family. And I think in trying to do that, it became kind of a bigger glimpse into the situation in general and into the idea of displacement and diasporic experience and memory in general. I think the book definitely doesn't purport to be representative of the entire Palestinian experience. This is a very specific family with socioeconomic background, with certain privileges, with certain opportunities. And I do think it's, From what I've heard from people, I think that can sometimes make it a little bit easier to connect to for many readers who have a certain amount of luxury and privilege to be able to see themselves in these characters that were able to have the financial privilege of leaving, mm-hmm. you know, and being able to get passports and being able to move to different cities.
Right, right. So you mentioned a little bit earlier how Alia, Salma's daughter, mm-hmm. is different from her mother. Tell us a little bit about how you explore those differences.
Well, I think, you know, it's sort of the classical, like, intergenerational conflict, right? So, like, I think that's one of the things that the book kind of looks at is how it's really hard to raise children in a country that is not your own,
yeah.
where there's a value system, where there's a belief system, where there's a way of doing things that's very different to how you grew up. So I do think there's a lot of rebelling within some of the parental child relationships in the book. I've always been interested in that idea of intergenerational trauma and how it manifests differently from generation to generation. But also, I think a lot of the times that's one of the ways in which these familial relationships end up getting really complicated.
Yeah.
You know, you grow up, I mean, someone who's born and raised in Boston, for example, is going to have a very different connection and idea of family and home than someone who immigrated here when they're 45.
Mm. You know, your book comes along at a time where, of course, our national conversation about refugees,
yeah.
who make up a significant part of any group's diaspora,
yeah.
Around the world. It's you know, it's very complicated and it's very fraught.
Yeah,
obviously, not just here in the United States, but in many places. I'm just wondering, you know, how you're thinking through that, mm-hmm. in terms of your own personal experience as well.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, there's my experience. There's the experience that I've seen with a lot of the patients that I work with in clinical work.
Yeah.
I like to think of it as a lack of imagination on some level, that I think for a lot of people, it's very difficult to really understand what it must be like when you have to flee a country. And there's that whole quote of, like, it's, you know, you only put your kid on a raft and put them out to sea if it's safer than the land, that people are not doing this because they're trying to sneak their way into countries. People are not fleeing by the millions just to try to, like, inundate these Western countries. They're doing it because they have no other choice. Most people don't want to leave their home country.
Mm-hmm.
They'd rather stay. And I do think that there's a certain, I mean, hopefully, being able to force ourselves to be a little bit uncomfortable and have conversations that are difficult, it might help us challenge some of these ideas that we have.
Yeah. Well, Hala Alyan, she is a Palestinian-American writer and a clinical psychologist, as you mentioned. Her debut novel is Salt Houses. She'll be talking about it at the Harvard Bookstore tonight. We'll have more information about that at radioboston.org. Thank you so much for coming in, and thank you for the book.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.